hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
We're continuing our series called Navigating Life. And in this series, we are using the metaphor of sailing. We know that life can be a little bit like a boat trip. It has a starting point, a destination, and there can be hosts of storms, obstacles, and challenges in between the two. In this series, we're exploring the ways we can get blown off course and then point people towards how to get back on course again. Last week, John started us off by looking at how we can make sure Jesus is our captain. He also asked us about what our destination was going to be and who we were going to have in our boat. Tonight, we're going to have a look at how we can lose our direction in this thing called life. And here's the thing, straight up front. The key way we can lose our direction is when we take our eyes off Jesus, our guiding light, and instead focus on others. Take our eyes off Jesus and instead focus on others. Recently, I went camping with my family. And one thing I love about camping is at the nighttime when my girls were in bed, they were in the tent all snugged up, we got to sit outside on a beautiful night and look at the stars. And my wife and I were talking and going, okay, all right, we know this is a thing, but can we find the direction south based upon the stars? Can we have a look and actually see which direction south is? So we knew it had something to do with the Southern Cross and some line that you had to draw. We couldn't figure it out. So we Googled it. I mean, is anyone an astronomer here? And you're like, yeah, I could do that any day. Anybody? See, like, you guys are probably like me. We looked it up, and it's kind of cheating, but why not? And we found a page, and it said to do this. It said, draw an imaginary line from the top of the Southern Cross to the bottom and extend it 4.5 times. Drop a vertical line from this point, which is the southern celestial pole, to the horizon. That place is due south. You got it? Me neither. No. So I got out my phone and I looked up, south's that way. Yep, there it is. We weren't certain. But imagine you were on a ship. Imagine that you were on the waters, because they used to navigate by the stars. Before they had any kind of instruments, this is what they would do. Whether if it was in the northern hemisphere, they'd look for the North Star, they'd know where north is. If they were in the southern hemisphere, they would use this as a way of finding their way around. It was essential. It's how they navigated at night, and their ability to do it could very well save their life. Imagine you were on navigation on one of those ships, and you found it. Yes, I've got it. I know which way north is. I know which way south is. I know which direction we're supposed to be going. And you start to chart your course. But then, from out of nowhere, comes these other ships, these fancy ships. And they seem to be going in a different direction. And you like these ships, and you think, man, if they're going in that direction, maybe I should go in that direction. And you thought maybe they knew a better way, and you went after them. Now, if you were the ship's navigator in this scenario, you could be fired. Or if you're on a ship of war, you could be court-martialed. If you're on the open seas and those ships didn't know where they were going, then you could go disastrously off course. Now, unfortunately, I think this is something that we do all the time. Now, what am I talking about? Let me help so we don't get lost in imagery here. As we navigate life, we have a choice. Do we keep our eyes fixed on the fixed point? And that's our relationship with Jesus. Or do we lower our eyes to the things around us and begin to follow the people around us? There are many ways we can do this. Some of them are obvious and overt. We start behaving like the people around us. Or we start thinking the same as them. Tonight I want to talk about a slightly different way we do this. And that is the area of comparison. When I compare myself, when you compare yourself to somebody else. When we look at what someone else does, or what someone else has, or even who they are, and we think less of ourselves, or we try to match their standards or even buy what they have. Do you know, there are a couple of things in my house, and I'm a little bit ashamed to say this. The only reason I have them is because I saw them in somebody else's house. I went to someone's house and they had this amazing TV. And I'd lived all my life without a TV. And I thought I didn't need one until I saw their 4K TV, 60 inch. It was phenomenal. And I went, you know, I gotta, that's just, man, if I don't have that, like, who am I? And so I went out, I got a 32 inch because that was all that fit in the cabinet that we had. And no one does 4K at 32 inch. So I didn't quite get that. But that's kind of the reason I have that in my house. Is because I compared my watching scenario with their watching scenario and thought, you know what, it's not good enough. I can definitely do better. Yet the Bible tells us that this is not the way we're supposed to do things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8 says, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. We can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." But if we're honest, that's really hard for us to do. And this, I think, affects us all. So tonight I want to do a little exercise. And John kind of set us up for this last week. He did an exercise where he brought some people out the front. Here's what I want to do. Anyone who's willing, I'd like you to stand up and move into the aisles, if you could. We've actually created an extra wide aisle. So if you stand up and move into the aisles, if you want to play along, if we can have a few people play along, that helps. Yeah, as many as want to, just come and stand in the aisle. If you don't come and stand in the aisle, still play along, even in your own mind. Come and play along. Right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say a statement. And if you agree with the statement, I want you to come to this end. If you disagree with the statement, I want you to go to the other end. Agree this way, disagree that way. You got it? Really simple? Okay, here's the first statement. First statement is, I hate to lose. I hate to lose. If you agree with that statement, come further forward. Everybody else in your own mind, see if you can play along. I hate to lose. If you disagree, you don't mind losing, then you go to the other way. All right?
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. I can imagine games night and the Ellis household is, no, it doesn't go so well. All right, next statement. I only spend the money I have on necessities. Okay, agree down this end, disagree down that end. In other words, if you spend lots on holidays, in malls, or you have debt because you spend too much, you might need to go to the disagree end. All right? It's interesting. Okay, hopefully you guys who aren't playing along physically are playing along mentally. Yeah? Not many people on the agree end on this one. Some people in the middle, yeah? Okay, all right, next one. I sometimes wish I could be like someone else. If you agree down this way, if you disagree down that way, we're not making judgment calls on these things either. I sometimes wish I could be like someone else. We look at someone else and go, man, I wish I was as talented as that person, as beautiful or as academic or as free as that person. I think we all wish we could be a little bit more like her. Very cute. Okay, next one. I have everything I want. I have everything I want. If you agree down this end, if you disagree down that end, I have everything I want. Just clarifying, yes, agree is down this end. Yep, very good. All right. I am happy with my position in life. If you look at your life and you say, I am happy with my position in life, here to agree, there to disagree. I am happy with my position in life. Right, last one. I spend a lot of time on social media. agree down this end, disagree down that end. Warren doesn't even have a social media. Say in comparison to like your spiritual input. I spend a lot of time on social media. Excellent. Okay, you guys can grab a seat. Hopefully you guys are playing along too. It's interesting that that is not a thorough scientific test, but it might be you'd notice some of those things and you could put your finger on areas in which they indicate that you might be comparing yourself to other people. The digital media one is really interesting. Here's a little graph for you. We're going to put it up on the screen. We live in a digital world. A study last year of 15 to 23-year-olds asked them to track how much time they spent taking in spiritual content. And the amounts of spiritual input churchgoers have in a year, as you'll see up there, is 291 hours. And it's half that for the whole population, those who aren't Christian. The amount of time using screen media is 2,767 hours for 15 to 23-year-olds. This is the world we live in. And the problem there is with a lot of screen time, other than it freaking you out about COVID-19 in unnecessary ways, how many news articles have you written last week about that and how unhelpful is that for us? It sets us up for this idealized image of who we are to be. Because as we look at news, as we look at entertainment sites, as we look at movies, music, videos, social media, we get a perception of what it is that we're supposed to match up to. And the problem is that, as many of you will know, that is a lie. Most of it's not even real. In the year 2000, the company Dove created an advert that showed this a little bit. So the quality of it's not great, but I thought we'd show you that advert. Let's show that. And so we get this image. No wonder our perception of beauty is distorted. We get this image of who we're supposed to be, and we're comparing ourselves to things and to people that are not even the reality. It's a lie. We want to live an Instagram life where everything is amazing. We compare and contrast and we see that we don't have it all together. And so we feel horrible about ourselves. And even worse, we try to be like these others. We follow these ships. We keep our eyes. Our eyes are no longer fixed on the goal. I have told this story once before, please forgive me, but it fits here really well. This is what we're talking about. I was on a holiday in Nelson, and I went to the beach with my family. We were playing in the shallows, having a good time. And I saw this girl walking along the beach. She was probably in her early 20s. She was hand in hand with her boyfriend. It was a really nice scene. But then she stopped, and she pulled out her phone and handed it to her boyfriend. And she did this. She jumped into the air while he took her picture. And then she did it a second time, and then a third time. And then she kept on walking. And as she did, she looked at her camera and she stopped. She wasn't happy, it seemed. So she did it again. One, two, three. Three more jumps. And then two steps later, she stopped again. She adjusted her clothing. She made sure her hair was better. And she did it again, you know? Three times, jumping up into the air while he took her photo. And then she began to walk away from the camera while he continued to take photos. I can only imagine what this poor guy thought at this point. Like, well, am I your boyfriend or your photographer? I'm not even sure. This went on for probably about 10 minutes. In that time, they had walked from 10 meters on one side of me to about 10 meters on the other, amongst this most beautiful beach scene, and they had experienced none of it. After that 10 minutes, we ended up leaving. But my last view of them as I walked off the beach was her jumping up in the air three more times while he continued to take her photo. And I'm certain that people would have seen her photos on Instagram and thought that she just had the best time. She was showing a scene of an idealized day that actually didn't take place because she was so busy trying to make it look good that she didn't experience it for herself. Yet, we would compare ourselves to her and say, wow, if only I lived a life like she did. The Bible does tell us that we must do things differently. Galatians 6, verse 4 says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. See, we need to start living our lives by a different formula, a different way of doing life. Not one when we are after more stuff or comparing ourselves with others. When we do that, we begin to lose ourselves. There's a scene that I'm going to show you from the movie The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is a Chronicles of Narnia movie. It's about Lucy, who's the youngest of the Pevensey children. She has three older siblings, including her sister Susan. But she gets hold of a magic book that can make you whatever you want to be. In this scene we're about to see, she uses it to make herself as beautiful as her older sister Susan. But there are unintended consequences. Let's watch that.
Lucy.
Aslan.
What have you done, child?
I don't know. That was awful.
But you chose it, Lucy.
I didn't mean to choose all of that. I just wanted to be beautiful like Susan. That's all.
You wished yourself away, and with it much more. Your brothers and sister wouldn't know Narnia without you, Lucy. You discovered it first, remember?
I'm so sorry.
You doubt your value. Don't run from who you are.
So that's what happens. Aslan tells her that her desire to be someone else means that she loses who she truly is. And isn't that us sometimes? When we want to be like that person, it means we lose who we truly are. I was speaking with the young people this week, and I was talking to them about a principle that I discovered from an author called Robert McGee. He wrote a book called The Search for Significance. And in this book, which I believe every person should read, it's really powerful, he says there is a formula that most people live by, a formula that dictates the way that they believe and the way that they behave. And it is very simply this. I've written it on the board so that you can see it, is that my self-worth is a product of, comes from, my performance and others' opinions. My self-worth, what I think of myself deep down, am I okay, is based on how good I am at stuff and others' opinions, whether other people think well of me. And I think this little formula is what 95% of the world lives by. Christians, non-Christians, and it has a massive impact on people's behavior. This is why you have to win. Because if I don't perform, I am weak and I'm worthless. I'm not as good as them. I remember the time when I've talked before how I never really got top of the class in anything, but one test I did, I got top of the class and in science, the first test of the year, and I thought, this is great, I'm going to be amazing at it. Never got top of the class ever again in any test. But the next day, one of my friends came to me and they said to me, hey, you know how you got 24 out of 27 and I got 23 and a half. Well, I've looked at my tests and I've found out that actually one of the answers they marked me wrong in is actually right. So I actually got more than you. And I said, oh, that's cool, excellent. But inside I was dying. I was like, no, I got top of the class. This doesn't happen to me very often. And I thought this was going to be my moment. There's something really negative happened inside of me. And then he went, oh yeah, I was only joking. And then I felt even worse because I'd reacted to something that wasn't even true. My grade hadn't changed, but my perception of myself had. This is why when people Instagram their success, it makes us feel like garbage. Because if they've got that new job, if they're going to be having kids, if they're getting engaged, well, what does that mean about us? We just don't have it. This is why often you feel like a failure, because my performance compared to others is so low. And I've had several conversations with people recently who said, I thought by this time in my life, I would have achieved more. And I just think I'm useless. Because they're comparing themselves. One person said to their father. Another person said to the others who were around them. This is why you want to buy this product or these clothes. Because if I don't match up with the things that others have, then I'm nothing. I've known people who barely have enough to live on, but they have the nicest clothes and the best things because they think that makes their life complete. To do it, they'd even go into debt because they're saying, if I don't have what everybody else has or as nice as everybody else, what does it say of me? I think it's time for us to stop living by this formula in so many ways. It's time for us to change the way that we do things. And this all comes back to the Ten Commandments. There is a Tenth Commandment that doesn't seem to fit the other commandments. It's the Tenth Commandment, and it says this. It says, you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, your male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Now, why is this so odd? It's odd because these Ten Commandments were to set up a nation. And there were commandments about putting God first, and there were commandments about the way people were to behave to each other. The other commandments are commandments of action. Don't murder, don't lie, don't make idols. They set up this new society well with justice. But this one, do not covet. How do you even judge that? How do you know if someone is coveting, if they're looking at something with greed, we might say, with lust in their eyes, with, I wish I had that, they're comparing. That is so bizarre for a nation. But what God is doing here, what he knows is going on here, he knows that when we have a hard attitude that compares ourselves, that wants what other people have, then it's going to be worse for us and for society. And it's important because this attitude leads to a multitude of wrongs and shows that you've lost focus, lost sight on the most important thing. The Apostle Paul, when he writes the book of Colossians, he says this. He says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. And then he says this with a very similar word to that word covet. He says, don't be greedy. Want after things. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. And we go, well, hang on, idol worship was about bowing down to little statues. And here the Apostle Paul says, no, it's when you want the stuff that other people have. And you're not content with the stuff that you have. When you want the life that someone else has got. When you say, I can't be content. Then that's the same as idolatry. Whoa! I think sometimes we're all guilty of that. But we wouldn't call ourselves idol worshippers. We need to remove it from our lives. When we compare ourselves to others, whether it be what they have, the way they look, the type of person they are, then we are worshipping something other than God. So what do we do about this? How do we change this? As we've said all along, we need to take our eyes off those other ships, off other people, and we need to fix our eyes on the guiding light of our souls. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, which, by the way, is a great thing to do. Sarah talked about the uncertainty of life and the rock on which you stand. It's the same thing. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, the wants of this world become so much less. Become so much less. This is the freedom offered to people who follow Jesus. And as you, in your life, look around you, you can then do it with a different attitude. You're able to connect with others, not compete. You're able to be inspired by others, not intimidated. We don't get led in other directions. We're able to work on what God has given us to do, not to prove ourselves to him, but because we have the confidence he can work through us. We can endure difficulty like Jesus did. We can be content with what we have and grateful for his goodness in our life. We can navigate life. So, here's the question. Where have you been comparing? Is it in big ways or little ways? Have you been wanting to buy something just because someone else has it? What have you been wanting to do or to get just because you see others in your life who have or get the same? I want to give you a challenge this week, and it's to spend less time on social media, to spend less time looking at what others are putting forward to the world. I want to challenge you to flip that chart around, the chart about our engagement with digital media. May we spend more time in God's presence. May we spend more time praying. May we spend more time reading the Bible, listening to worship music, fixing our eyes upon him, and less time looking at what's going on around us. And then you're able to chart your course. And then you don't get distracted. You don't become embittered. You don't start coming to God and saying, God, how come you haven't done everything for me? He could quite rightly reply, what you really mean is, why haven't I made you like those people when really I want to make you like you?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.